So God, I believe, is speaking to somebody here to step up and take her place. Open in your Bibles for just this long. I promise. Jonah, chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2. I know this is continuing part 1, but we're going to have a continuation of part 1. Because I know that God wants this message. In the NIV it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. In the Living Bible, it's just a little bit different, but I like what it said. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and give them this announcement from the Lord. I'm going to destroy you, for your wickedness rises before me, and it smells to the very highest of heaven. There is doubtless no other book in the literary world that has suffered more at the hands of men than the book of Jonah. It has been scrutinized and torturized by its enemies. It's even been wounded in the house of its friends, the church. I have heard a pastor say, or a minister, I guess he was a pastor. He said, the only book in the Bible that I will not preach, well, there was two books that he mentioned, but one of them, he said, I will not preach from, is Jonah, because I can't believe it. We have been so prone to give our attention to the very non-essential things in this book rather than the very essential things in this book. We have had such an intense eye for the seeming ridiculous and the bizarre that we've lost sight of the message. There's a huge argument, and I know, has been for years, about whether it was a whale or a fish. What kind of fish or what kind of whale could swallow a man? And could it be real that Jonah lived in his belly for 3 days and then the whale puked him up on the beach? My answer to you is yes. To all of those things. Was it a fish? Yeah. Was it a whale? Yeah. Could he live for 3 days? Yeah. Could the whale puke him? Yeah. Simple. You believe it. I don't want to get so tied up with the unessential things that I lose sight of the most essential things. Because it's a calamity when we do. The calamity in the first place is because the book of Jonah is a gem of nature, of literature and nature. There is not another book in the Old Testament that has a sweeter fragrance of the breath of inspiration from God than does this book. There's not another book that's more radiant with the divine light of God's love than this book. It's a wonderful gospel in a nutshell. One story. Therefore, it's a great pity when Christians or the church turn from the wealth of the pages of this book because we're trying to measure how big the fish's throat is. There's a story about some hungry men. They were almost to the starvation stage. They were invited to a feast. And when they came to the banquet hall, they found a table that was spread with a king's ransom of food. And suddenly, one of the guys happened to look and say, "That's an odd looking table that all that food's sitting on." One of the other ones said, "Yeah, kinda." And then one of the others said, "I wonder what it's made out of." And they began discussing the table. The table was out of the ordinary, yes. They began to discuss the material it was made out of, how it was made, how it was even standing. And these guests began to get in a heated argument over the method that it was built by. And they argued so long and so learned and so well that the food utterly went to waste. And they left more hungry than when they came. This book, the book of Jonah, if you've never really read it, you need to read it. Not just go through it, read it. Because it says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Arise, get up. Go to Nineveh, preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. What an awesome thought. That God cared so much for an evil city that he was willing to send one of his prophets over there with a message. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. One of the most blessed and thrilling truths of the ages. That God would speak to a man. This man, Jonah, living somewhere at some time, God spoke to him. To this man, God made known his will and his holy purpose. God is still speaking today. The word of God is still coming to men and women today. There's not a single person sitting in this room right now that's been a Christian for any length of time, but that at some time in your life, there's come that definite, sure word from God. Maybe you felt the impress of his spirit on your spirit as he beckoned you, as he tugged at you, he pulled at you. Maybe you felt his hand on your hand as you were praying for someone. Or maybe you've seen his finger pointing on the road on which you ought to walk and toward the task which he is calling you to perform. My question this morning is, what are you doing about it? Jonah said, no thanks, God. Some other time. What are you going to do with what God is pulling you toward? Do we just say, no thanks, God? Some other time. Jonah said, God, I've got other things to do. You want me to go to Nineveh, but I'm going to Tarsus. I got other things that's more important, because it's what I want to do. Now, something thrilling happened on the way to Tarsus. And I'm going to close. Don't know when, but I'm going to. No, it's going to be in about 2 minutes. Something thrilling happened on the way to Tarsus. He got on a ship. They were sailing. He went down into the innermost part of the ship, went to sleep. God threw a storm at them. Son, when God throws a storm, he throws a storm. So much so that the ship started breaking up and those seasoned sailors started fearing for their lives. But insight was given to one of them, even though they didn't know God. And they said, something is causing this. And one of them went down and woke him up. And they said, come on up on deck, because something's causing this bad storm. And Jonah said, yeah, I know. It's God, because I'm running from him. And they said, what? You're going to put all of us in danger just because you want to go to Tarsus? You make everybody else's lives miserable because you want to do something else? What are we going to do about this? And Jonah said, simple, throw me overboard. In a heartbeat, man. You don't have to tell me twice. As a matter of fact, I was already thinking about doing that. Now, years before this moment, there was a baby whale that was born and began to grow. And God said to that baby whale, I got a special thing for you to do. You're going to meet a ship in a storm. And they're going to throw you some food. It's one of my rotten prophets. And it's going to make you sick to your stomach. And he's going to live around there for about 3 days. And then you're going to puke him out. Because he's so bad, you can't even stand him. But he's on a mission for me. And that whale, for all those years, realized one of these days is going to be a storm. One of these days there's going to be a ship. And every time the weather got a little cloudy and maybe the rain and the wind and that whale came up to the surface and saw a ship. He says, is this the one? And the ship goes on by. You say, Pastor, does that say that? No. I've got a most wonderful imagination. I took liberty because it says God prepared a great fish. Now, Jesus called him the whale. And I'm sure not going to dispute him, because he was there when it was made. You may be out doing your own thing, but if it's contrary to what God is asking of you, there's a storm that's waiting for you, and there's a whale that's already been prepared. All of that this book is talking about. One message from one man, and an entire city of hundreds of thousands gave their hearts to Jesus, repented. I don't know what God wants to do with you, but one message from one person made a difference in that many. Last year, the message that we gave made a difference in 567 people. Thank you. Bow your heads with me, would you please?